Hey everyone, and welcome to a special episode of the 8-Bit Geek. It is wrap-up time as we discuss Fan Expo Dallas 2019. And
yay.
I'm here. I'm Jeremy. I'm joined with...
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
And man, what a weekend, huh?
Oh, so exhausting.
I'm very tired. I don't know how I'm going to do this, so...
We're going to get through it because we're going to energize each other and we're going to rub each other's shoulders. And no, that'll relax you.
That'll put me to sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I had a really fantastic time. I think that this year's con was much improved over previous years.
Yeah. In comparison to the, you know, the last few years, especially if you listen to the show and you listen to us constantly bitch and moan about the dumb things that Dallas Comic Con / Fan Expo Dallas has done, it seems like they listened. I don't think they listened to us, but it was just leaps and bounds of improvements mm-hmm. as far as spacing, layout, guests, and everything.
Yeah. I mean, for my first year, I was pretty impressed with it. I thought it was great, especially once again hearing you guys kind of downplay it. And so seeing as this year they finally got everything right, I'm glad this was my first year into it. Because it raised the bar. Like, it was really cool. It was really fun. There was a lot of great celebrities there. A lot of great artists. A lot of great cosplayers. Just a lot of very talented people there that, mm-hmm. man, I mean, it seemed well organized. The rows weren't as bad as I guess they were in previous years. I mean, it was very comfortable to walk. At no time did I feel like it was too packed like other conventions we've been to. So, I mean, I liked it. I had a good time.
I agree. For the people that they had, I mean, they brought out a star-studded cast. You know, I don't know how many cons Michael J. Fox has in him.
Yeah, I don't know. They've had him for a couple of years, but I know he's canceled a couple of times, but he was there this year for sure.
And not only that, but he brought the entire Back to the Future cast with him.
Yeah, just about.
All the main cast. And so you also had Zachary Levi there, Rainn Wilson, Linda Blair, Sean Astin.
William Shatner.
Yeah, William Shatner. I mean, the list goes on and on.
The Goonies.
Oh, man. Can we just talk for a second how, what was his name? Was it Jack Dylan Grazer? His line was like fucking insane.
Yeah, the kid from It and Shazam.
Yeah.
Yeah, he and also that, like, if you go on Instagram and if you look up, like, hashtag Fan Expo Dallas, it is... he takes basically up him. About 80% of the photos. It's him and Finn Wolfhard, also from Stranger mm-hmm. Things and It. Yeah, but phenomenal people. Boy Meets World was there.
Oh yeah,
a lot of voice actors were
and
there.
And you got to meet one of your idols.
Yeah, I took a photo, a selfie photo with Ben Savage,
mm-hmm. and he was nice. You got to chat with him about his life and, you know, what brought him to this point. You got deep.
Yeah.
You got real deep.
Yep, in the 30 seconds I talked to him, yeah. We got super deep.
Yep, and then so deep that you were allowed to kick his co-star.
Yeah, Will Friedle, I kicked him in the back.
Yeah.
No, that didn't happen.
But you were told to.
I was told. Ben Savage told me to kick him. Will Friedle got in my way, and Ben Savage was like, throw elbows, just kick him. And then Will stopped and looked back at me, and then like kind of scooted back towards me to let me kick him, and then I was like, I'm not doing that because I'll get kicked out of the con. And they laughed and they're like, that's fair.
What would have been really funny is if you would have just like not held back and just fucking pulled your leg back and did a full-on kick. And then as security was walking, you'd be like, Ben told me
he told me I could do
Ben
it.
Told me to do it. And Will didn't move.
What a moment that would have been. Yeah. I may have done it. I may have kicked him right in the buttocks.
No,
let's go back.
Okay. Yeah, they're still there. They've got photo ops for. Oh no, it's about over.
Yeah,
no, I think it is.
Just go there and go. Remember me.
I'm back. I'm here for that kicking.
And before we move off of the stars, you know, Peter Mayhew. If you don't know, he is the original Chewbacca in the Star Wars films, mm-hmm. and he was scheduled to be there, and then on Thursday it was announced that he passed away. And a very, very sad thing of a supposed heart attack.
It was a heart attack is what the family is saying, yes.
And he, you know, they did something special. They set up a tribute, right, Kev?
Yeah. They set up a tribute at his booth. with a donation fund for the Peter Mayhew Foundation. Also, they put up guest books for people to sign and kind of give their condolences to the family. There was trinkets up there. People were leaving flowers, leaving photographs, little Chewbacca figures, pretty much any kind of like memorabilia they could and memorance. It was beautiful. Like I said, I had to put on my sunglasses when I was signing just because I kind of hold back, man. It was rough to do, especially after seeing him at least over the last 10 years of me going to conventions and seeing Peter Mayhew, even though, like, you know, not being a Texan, like even in Chicago and Kansas City, he would be at those conventions. And it was kind of a thing you'd expect to see, you know, and it was really sad to not see him this year and mm-hmm. know that we won't see him again. So,
yep. And we've had some cool moments. Doug, you've gotten a chance to kind of, you know, having a little extended talk with him because no one was at his booth one year.
Yeah, that was at Alamo City. Mm-hmm. I believe that was 2014, maybe. I think it was 2014. Because that was the same year that I talked to Scott Wilson also.
Nice.
But yeah, we were walking by and no one was at his booth. This was I think 2014. Did we go to something in 2013? I don't recall. But it was right after Disney bought Star Wars. They hadn't announced yet. No, we did know an episode 7 was coming, but they hadn't announced who was in it yet. And I went up to his booth because there was like no one there. And I was like, yo, you going to be in episode 7? And he was like, well, I don't know. And I was like, yeah, you know. You know, are you in episode 7? He was like, can't say if I am or if I'm not. And I was like, yeah, you win it. Yeah, you win it. You didn't just get that knee surgery for nothing. Mm-hmm. I ain't no fool.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, he's gone. He leaves a legacy of wonderful, wonderful films. And he trained his replacement.
Yeah.
As Chewbacca. But as we came in on Friday, the one thing that still bugs me just a little bit is that they don't do a full day show on Friday. They open at 4 p.m. on Friday.
Yeah, I think it was 2 for VIP people, VIP and stuff. I think we could have gotten in at like 3.
But it doesn't make any sense. You know, like if you're going to do a whole weekend, why not open the doors on a Friday? And it could be because of how many people come in and they, you know, just judging by how many ticket sales they've had in the past, they're like, well, doesn't make sense to open all day because of the fact that we're not getting that many people and
people are still at work.
And so, you know, let's close it down until after people are getting off and all that. I guess it makes sense, but at the same time, for people who are coming out of town or people who take the whole weekend off, you're just like, man, I wish I had that extra time mm-hmm. at the con just to hang out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we see that a lot. I mean, the only convention I can really think of, I think maybe Alamo City does it. And Comic Plus, I know for sure. It's like, yeah, open at 11 on a Friday. Open at 11, you know, and then you do like 10 on Saturday and 10 on Sunday, but like 11 or so. Because even then, because the stuff still goes late. And that's another thing. I think programming went till what, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock on Friday?
Mm-hmm. 9 o'clock on Friday.
So to make up for, you know, it's starting late, you know, it goes a little bit later. But then Saturday, it's over at 7.
Yeah. Like, why not 9?
Why not 9? You did it the night before. You have people, again, who will be there. And that's the thing. Like, we're walking the floor Saturday night, and, you know, a ton of fucking people still there. And all of a sudden, you know, doo-doo-doo. Attendees, the show is now closed. Mm-hmm. Please make your way to the exit. And it's like, bitch, there's still people in line for stuff. Rainn Wilson's not coming back from his break till 7. So what do you expect people to do?
Yeah.
So just, yeah, keep that shit going till 9, you know, in contrast, again, Texas Frightmare Weekend was this weekend, and their times are till 11 o'clock, like, every fucking night.
And there were still lines out the door.
Yeah.
For autographs and everything like that, so.
Yeah, that place was packed. That was a very busy con.
Which one, Frightmare?
Frightmare, Texas Frightmare this year. We did pay a visit to that, just real brief.
Yeah, it's a brief one because of the fact that as much as I love Lloyd, as much as I love going there, it is kind of getting
stale. Yeah,
it's a bummer too because it looks the same every year, but it's just they kind of just change out guests. But even vendors, kind of like it's the same vendors, and it's just like like we've said in the past, this feels like kind of Groundhog's Day going into it.
Yeah, it's the same guests in the same spots that they were the year before. And the year before that. And I think we commented on this last year, or maybe even the year before that, where it's just like this is all in the. You can, if you're like, man, you even Kev, you were like, oh, I wonder if my friend's here with her company or whatever this it's year. Like, they were in the same spot. Now we didn't see your friend, spot, but yeah. the same spot from the where we first met them 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Same spot. We knew exactly where they were.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And she was still there. She just happened not to be there at the time because I saw her posting on Instagram. About
yeah, exactly.
It,
so. I was just, we didn't run into her, but like, yeah, we would have if had she been there.
Yeah,
because we knew exactly where she was, and that's like, I guess in one hand that's cool because you know your way around, but the other hand it's like, okay, but there's nothing new. I'm not saying anything new, and we kind of talked about a little bit about that at Dallas because you go through the vendor area and it's kind of like, I'm not really seeing anything new. It's just all the same junk that we've saw the year before and the year before that. And then it's when you start getting into the artist and creator like alleys and stuff, that's where you start seeing the new and original looking content, stuff that people are making at home to come sell here, where things, you know, you find the really cool shit, the cool art and stuff like that. And like, that's the stuff I'm way more interested in. It just feels like there's not a lot of that at Frightmare.
Yeah. And I think they just need to, I don't know if they're in a contract or what, but they need, I mean, they've outgrown that convention hall. It's great for what it's worth, but once again, going in on a Friday night, it was shoulder to shoulder, folks. And it's just, I feel like they need a bigger venue at this point. I don't know. I've never been to a huge horror convention because it's like a lot of, I mean, horror is very niche, but I feel like this can be the biggest horror convention, at least in Texas, if they have a bigger venue in order to display that. And I feel like Lloyd would be able to bring in more guests. He'll be even though he had a ton of amazing guests. Also, I think that there would be more new vendors and more chances for people to buy new booths for vending or just anything, you know, like even us, like, you know, kind of pimping on 8-Bit Geek or more writers or, you know, more artists.
Yeah.
I just think there's a very limited amount of space there and it's really hard to be new into that. Like, try to get something new in there because all of the other people seem like they're grandfathered in. Like,
yeah.
It seems like before they make an announcement to the public about which vending tables are going to be available, it seems like these other vendors get first dibs. And I mean, I don't know. I just assume that because we see the same exact vendors in the same exact spots every year.
Exactly.
And it's like, I feel like we just need more room and more stuff.
I think that, like, I don't think they could do a convention center. I don't think that they would do well necessarily in, like, the Irving Convention Center, even though it's smaller than, like, the Dallas one that we went to. That's where Dallas Comic-Con used to be, mm-hmm. and they outgrew that very quickly, especially in the last few years. But, you know, there's, like, the Hilton Anatole that we talked about down near Dallas that we've driven right. past. Like, that is a hotel with very large ballrooms and convention space,
mm-hmm.
and that, again, there's been a number of cons there. I think, what's it called? I think it's been there a couple years, or in the past, maybe a couple years ago.
What was that?
QuakeCon, I think.
QuakeCon has been there, yeah.
Yeah. They've got plenty of space. They've got these giant fucking ballrooms. I mean, if they used one of those ballrooms, the two that they use at the Hilt or the Hyatt Regency, would take up half of one of those rooms. Both of them combined would only fill one of the halls at the Hilton.
Wow.
Yeah. It's insane. And they've got a theater room that's actually like a movie theater. That they could do, you know, because they show these horror films at night, you know, from like 11 on through the night, they're doing all these screenings and stuff. And I think that's not for us to, they just need to fucking move. But
yeah, I hope it's a contract thing and maybe in the next year or two, he's out of it. I hope it's not a comfort thing.
Yeah, that's the concern. We talked about that also, where it's like, this feels like this has become something where someone has gotten comfortable here. They know the space, they know the people, and that's all they're doing. Because that's just what they're comfortable with. And we hope that that's not the case. But that's starting to seem what it feels like since there has been no change in anything but guests in the last few years.
Yeah. The guests were bangers, though. I mean, you had Bruce Campbell. You had Sam Raimi. You had a whole Nightmare on Elm Street reunion, including Heather Langenkamp and Robert Englund. It was, I mean, like I said, the lineups, everything on paper looked amazing. Like I said, I think, but when we spent our time there, it was just kind of like we all felt very familiar with the spot. And then we all knew, like, you know, we didn't have to ask ourselves, do we need to go around? Do we need to stay or anything like that? Because we knew. We've seen every part of that convention. We've covered the grounds in 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and that's being very, I think that's being very
generous.
Generous, yeah. So, I mean, and like I said, I love it and I love what they do there. I would just like to see them in a bigger spot with more opportunities for other vendors and new blood into that because I mean, it's, I love horror and I love horror conventions. They're some of the, and some of the most fun people and some of the best cool cosplay. I just wish we had more room to really admire it.
I think that's where we saw, you know, where Fan Expo Dallas really plays its hand well, is the fact that they bring in so many new things every year. Like as we were walking around on Friday, you know, we look out and we see, what the hell is this thing? And we see How to Train Your Dragon has these giant prop dragons that you can sit on and take pictures of. Somebody recreated the Millennium Falcon's cockpit, and we actually got in there and did a group photo of everybody that was in there. Really faithful recreation.
Yeah, and we didn't break anything.
Yeah. Oh, man. So the guy, we pay for our tickets. The guy, you know, we're waiting in line, and he's like, all right, who's next? And we're like, us four. And he goes, oh, as a big boys, huh?
Us four being us three and Ed. Yeah. And Saga Sabon.
And so we go into the back, and he's like, I hope you guys can fit in here. Man, this is a big landing. We could fit in.
Yeah.
So we get in, and we take a photo, and then he's like, all right, who's Han? Who's Chewie? We get in, and we sit down. We take a whole bunch of photos. Everything is fine. And then as we leave, We're feeling pretty proud of ourselves. We're like, yeah, we did it.
Well, not only that, I mean, it was fun. I mean, there was more than enough space.
Yeah.
Because at one point, I was getting in, and I was going to be one of the passengers in the back. There's the two, you know, the Han and Chewie seat, and then the two back behind. And he's like, hey, man, be careful. Those seats can be real tight. And I just sat down. I was like, this isn't a problem at all.
Fine.
This isn't, you know, this fine. Isn't tight. What are you talking about? But yeah, and then, yeah, so then when we get out, he's like, oh, nothing broke.
Yeah, he's like, well, okay, none broke, all right.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe we were the beta testers for the big boys.
Yeah. And I was kind of like, well, if you're worried about, I mean, know your audience, man. You're at a Comic-Con. Like, there's going to be some big people that are going to get on this bitch. Mm-hmm, so, like, yeah, maybe we are the beta testers. You didn't know. And, like, now you do. So if you decide to rebuild this or to make some upgrades, yeah, make it bigger or something, I guess, for your people. Because it is not to scale. It is smaller than the cockpit.
Of course.
Which makes sense, but... You know, there's some cool stuff. We saw, you know, DC had a giant fucking booth this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, giant. They've kind of made Dallas like almost like a little home for them. Mm-hmm. They announced Batman Metal here a couple of years ago. Was Jim Lee was always he's been here like the last few years doing stuff. They've had Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo. They've had a number of their artists and writers show up. But they actually had a big booth this year with a bunch of stuff. And on top of that, there was an Ubisoft store.
Yes.
Ubisoft was fucking here with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and they went and just decided to slash their prices on all of their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was literally, there was some South Park, like Stick of Truth figures that I've looked on their website because they tend to put them on sale a lot because that game is, you know, there's a newer version of that game out now. And, it was Stick of Truth, or was that Fractured Butthole?
Stick of Truth was the first one.
Oh, so this is actually Fractured Butthole. So this is the new stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
This is the superheroes.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and so, but they have had these figures out for a while, and I always see them on sale for like $10. They're normally like $15 to $20, and they're like, yeah, $5. Well, you know, those are $5. Yeah, the big one right there, yeah, that one's $10. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? That thing is $30 on your website. Yeah, I'm going to buy it for $10.
Yeah. Same with the Watch Dogs. So they had, from Watch Dogs 2, they had... like maybe 12 to 16 inch figurines or statues of Marcus and Wrench. And once again, when we saw them on Friday, we're like, oh, these are amazing. I bet they're like $70-$80. So we kind of just passed on them. And then on Saturday, I just kind of asked just offhand. I was like, how much are these things anyway? These are really cool, Marcus and Wrench. And he's like, oh, those are $20 for the figures. And I'm like, no, but these. And he's like, oh, let me look it up. Yeah, $20 for the pieces, $40 for the set, and we all looked at each other like, what?
Yeah, and right now on Amazon, they're going for $50 and $38 each.
See? And so I picked up both of them as a set because, I mean, I loved Watch Dogs 2, and Marcus and Wrench were my two favorite characters, probably in the series so far. And, yeah, it was an easy purchase. And, Doug, you bought some stuff as well. Jeremy, you were tempted, but I think you were able to hold off.
Yeah, I was going to buy them, but I just don't have space. Like, without making this... you're in the office. Everyone is in the office right now. Without making it too claustrophobic and having stuff everywhere, I just don't really have the space for it.
You have a case right here.
You guys can't see this, but I'm looking around looking at all the empty space in his office.
But, okay, but I have this, like... I don't want to put shelving everywhere and then just have it littered with nothing but figures.
Are you worried that you're going to buy one figure, then suddenly you're going to buy all the figures?
That's generally what happens.
It's not like a gremlin where you feed it after midnight and multiply.
Don't get it wet.
These Star Wars ones, I bought one because I thought it would be cool, and then I started buying all of them, and then I was like, okay, I got to stop.
Yeah.
I
want that Malgus. If you decide you're going to get rid of him, I'll take him. Jeff Malgus.
I needed to get rid of him.
He's
the one from the Old Republic.
Yeah, let's make a deal.
Yeah, you can have him.
Nice.
We'll talk later. For free. But then I bought one of these helmets.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, shit, I gotta collect all. This is like Pokemon.
Need all the helmets.
And so I started collecting all the fucking helmets, and they're kind of taking,
whatever.
President over everything.
Mm-hmm.
But anywho.
Anyways. What else did we do?
Yeah, so they had those booths. They had some pretty cool stuff for us to see. You know, there's unique items. Doug picked up a couple things. I picked up a couple things that were pretty unique. Oh, they had these two dice booths.
Mm-hmm.
Level Up Dice.
Yeah.
And
Mystic Mountain?
Mystic Mountain Gaming.
Something like that, yeah.
And so we give a shout out to both of those. You can check them out. Level Up had some incredible dice if you make a lot of money and you have a lot of disposable income.
Yeah, I would say that. Like, if you are okay with spending over $100, $200 on dice, they had some of the fucking sickest dikes. Dikes is the word I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Well.
What's a good cut? You know, like what you use to cut wires. No, dice ever.
Mm-hmm.
Some of just the sickest dice. They had these ones that they forget what they call them, but they were the inset or whatever,
mm-hmm.
where like they has a cage,
mm-hmm.
and or essentially, which is like, you know, your dice, but then the inside is, it's not loose. It doesn't like roll around on its own. It sits inside of it perfectly, but there is some like give
jingle
to it. Yeah. Jingle to exactly.
It's mm-hmm. awesome.
And it like, they felt great in the hand. They felt great to roll.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the noise they made was fantastic. It wasn't just like a kunk, like some of the heavier metal dice that we were testing, but they just had this really cool jingle. It was, I don't know, they were dope. But I almost bought some because there's this one set I really liked. They kept rolling perfect for me, and I was like, cool, how much are those? And they're like $230, and I was like, okay.
And then
I'll be
that
back.
Was on the lower end, really.
Uh-huh.
The saleswoman, I was like, oh, Doug's being influenced. This really pretty woman was helping him, and he's all like, yeah. Yeah, they're great. Do you have anything in purple? And she's all like, boy, that's all we do is purple. And he's like, okay, I'll buy it.
No.
But he didn't.
But I didn't buy it. Also, she thought I was joking because I went back around to the other side where she'd pulled some of those dice from. And I was looking over there and she's like, what do you, she's like, you know, because everyone started to walk away. And I was like, well, I was looking for purple. And she was like, oh, you were serious?
Oh.
And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh, I thought you were just saying if we did something in purple because like their logo's purple. All their like uniforms had purple on them. A lot of them had like purple hair. Mm-hmm. Like it was very much purple for a lot of the stuff. She thought I was just being like an asshole and sarcastic. And then I was like, no. I like those, the purple ones.
Well, so those were pretty dope. But we ended up picking up a set. Everybody got a set of, except for Kev.
Yeah, I don't roll.
We got a set of of dice from the
Mystic Mountain.
Mystic Mountain Gaming,
mm-hmm.
and those were fantastic too. Normally, you see these things sell for $100 on the internet. They sold them for $40 a set. Even on their website, they're only $50.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And so we picked up all metal, new die, and then we got the mats and everything to go with it. They gave us discounts because we bought multiples, and the mats were only $5 a piece. And so we had a fantastic time. I picked up a set of white and black ones that mm-hmm. looked pretty dope. Yours were
kind of like copper looking, mm-hmm. but like an aged copper. I don't know. It's hard to explain. Kind of like steampunkish, really. It's like a brown and copper.
Mm-hmm.
They just look really cool. They look really mm-hmm. fucking sick.
And then Ed picked up red ones, I want to say.
Like red and black, maybe?
Yeah, red and black,
yeah, red and black was his colors.
Yeah. And then B got like bronze and blue or something like that.
Ooh.
Teal, bronze and teal almost. I forget exactly. I was thinking like they look kind of almost like if I was going to play a game with some like an underwater race sort of thing, like Aquaman sort of, you know, like Atlantean.
Oh, yeah.
Like it had that kind of feel to it with like the bright blue with that kind of, you know, bronze mm-hmm. color.
Yeah, so it was those two things were pretty dope. And then we kind of ended Friday there with just kind of giving a walkthrough and everything. We got there a little late. Kev's flight got delayed on Friday, and so it got canceled, and so we had to wait. So normally he was thinking he was going to come in at 8:15, but he didn't end up coming in until
3.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah, and we didn't end up getting into the hotel until like 4 or something, so we didn't really have a ton of time. Because we also went to Frightmare that night, and we just tried to get it all in as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we did.
So, but Saturday we woke up and we had some breakfast at the hotel restaurant, which was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I had a Texas shaped waffle,
not a normal shaped waffle.
Yeah, and I could tell you
it's bigger.
The Texas one tasted very earthy.
What?
Tasted like Americana, baby.
Tasted like Texas.
Tasted like Texas. So kind of tasted like oil.
Yeah. Oh.
And cow.
It wasn't syrup. It was oil being poured on it.
Oh, God.
And so then we started with the day with me doing a cosplay. The first time I've ever done a cosplay at a con.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrifying at first because there's a lot of unknowns. And as you're doing it for the first time, you're like, ooh, I hope the expectations of what I'm feeling versus what everyone else thinks about it. I did the spoilers here. If you haven't seen Endgame, I did Thor Bowski, and so I think it went off pretty well. I think people were pretty excited. Doug and Kevin said that they were kind of walking behind me, and they heard, you know, as I walk by, people would kind of freak out, right?
Oh yeah. Well, Kev was kind of walking with you because
I was your handler.
Yeah, he was the handler. He was like passing out the stickers and stuff when you take photos with people. And yeah, it was Ed and I that were walking, like a couple of people behind you. And it was just interesting watching people pass Jer and like laugh and nudge and point him out and like, holy shit, look, like, oh my God, it's Thor from Endgame. And like, yeah, just people were not expecting to see that cosplay, I guess, and there it was, and very well done. Again, we saw a couple of other people do it, but I mean, even though I might be a little biased, I would say that Jer's was absolutely hands down the best.
Yeah, even if I didn't know Jer, it was the most detailed. The only other one, there was one guy who had an actual beard, but a lot of other people, it seemed like they phoned it in. I mean, I'm not going to say it's the hardest cosplay to do, but it still takes some kind of skill, and I think Jer knocked it out of the park. For what it was worth, compared to the other people that were there.
Yeah, it's like some people just had like, oh, I have long hair and like a beard, like a short beard, that'll be fine. But it's like, yeah, but your hair's brown. Like, mm-hmm. You're like, oh, whatever. And then, yeah, that one guy, yeah, he had this big, like, beard, and he had like a shitty wig, and then like, I don't know, his clothes didn't look right. It was like you just went and pulled all that shit out of your closet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like wearing a hoodie or something like that. It was really weird.
Yeah, like a pullover or something. It was like close. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was like you just got a wig. It was like that was the most you did. And there were some people, again, where it was like, yeah, you just went through your closet and just found some clothes that you had. Mm-hmm. And you may have had like a Mjolnir or something from some Halloween costume or something. You know, and so it was like, yeah, you threw this together for like $5.
But I think that just looking at the people's reactions and how many times I got stopped for pictures, and every time I got stopped for a photo, it would end up being 10 photos. It would be mm-hmm. one after another, after another, after another, group photos. And that was, finishing that, I can definitely see the allure of wanting to do it all the time. Like why people get into cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
And because the rush that you get and the confidence that you get from doing it is amazing. Like you're on cloud 9 because people, you feel like a star because you're, people just want to be a part of what you did, and you feel good that you threw something together that people can recognize. And so that was really cool. There was a moment too where there was a really well done Rocket Raccoon, and mm-hmm. I walked up next to him and I said, "Robert," and he turned and looked at me, and he had an animated mouth he can move, and so it just dropped, and then he wanted a hug, and then a huge fucking crowd gathered, mm-hmm. which I did not expect.
Yeah. Kevin and I were suddenly standing behind people because people got in front of us to take photos of the two of them. So we're like trying to take photos and we're now behind people. And then people, because they hugged, and then so people were like, do the hug again. Like, we want to get photos of the hug. Could you hug him again?
Yeah.
So then you guys had to hug again.
And then the whole crowd was like,
aww. Yeah, there was a lot of awing in the crowd.
And then, which I thought was really cool, is that Rocket then opened up a pouch and took out their own cell phone and had someone take a photo of you two together.
Yeah, he had to have that photo because he was like, wow. So it was really an incredible experience. And I got to give props to cosplayers because I don't think, even though we know one with Windrus and we talk to her all the time.
And Debbie.
And Debbie, of course. And, you know, and other cosplayers that we have talked to over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't really realize the sacrifice that they go through to put those on and to keep them on. I could only stand to be in my outfit for 3 hours because of how hot I got. And most of these people stay in them all day long.
Yeah.
And they are in pain. Like, my feet were killing me from the flip-flops I had on. And then my back was killing me from standing so long. I was hot. And then they're staying in them for 6 to 8 hours to 10 hours a day. And I'm just like, props to you.
And
like,
all smiles, you know, for the kids that want photos and the people who want photos. I mean, it's a huge thing. They put in a lot of work.
Yeah, like, you know, we saw Wenders on Friday night, and she was dressed as Spider-Girl, Spider-Woman. I don't remember which one she's dressed as.
Yeah.
And then then we saw her on Saturday as Psylocke. And then today, on Sunday, she was dressed as Mrs. Incredible from The Incredibles in high heels.
Yeah.
Wenders, what's wrong with you?
Like, no, it's what's wrong with you. I mean, that's a hell of a sacrifice.
That's my point. Like, what is, why? Why do you do
that? Why would you do that?
Yeah, why would you do that to yourself? The last day you're going to put on high heels? Like, my feet are fucking killing me. I know yours are too because of the, like, shoes situation you have to do when cosplaying those, like, bodysuits. Mm-hmm. You're not wearing great shoes.
Yeah.
So, like, then you're going to go into heels? Girl, you crazy. Love you, but God. Damn.
It was great. She did a killer job. Her Psylocke outfit. I mean, all three outfits were great, but the Psylocke outfit, you can find that obviously on her Instagram, but ours as well. There's a picture of her and Jeremy together.
Yeah, you can see the Thorbowski if you'd like to. It's on the social media.
Yeah. But it's cool. There's just so much love put into it. And it was cool seeing going back to you and Thorbowski, it was cool seeing actual cosplayers who had booths and everything coming out to wanting to take pictures with you and like acknowledging your cosplay, despite, you know, them being like, say, the professionals, and then you just kind of being an amateur of sorts, and they were giving you encouraging words and stuff. I thought that was amazing. I think that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, everybody seemed to really enjoy it, and they were like spot on. I mean, it was a really great experience. I appreciate everybody who gave me props out there, and then I thanks for the support too from everybody at 8-Bit, because y'all, you know, I was really nervous to do it because you guys pushed me. You were like, no, you have to do this. Like, it has to be done.
Yeah, now you said it. You must now do it.
And you nailed it.
So,
yeah.
So that was a good time. We did that for a few hours and then.
More than we thought. Because we were down there at like 10, like when it opened. Mm-hmm. And we did not get back to the room until like 1:30.
Yeah. So we did it quite a bit. And then after that, it was time to, of course, get a little bit of lunch, get some food in us. We did. We had some sushi.
Oh, wait, real quick, though, shout out to Hops and Heroes. They were the people that were working with Windrus. They're from Austin, Texas, and they were also doing a lot of they're doing a benefits. They're doing like a benefit show, or they're doing some kind of events going on. But look up Hops and Heroes. Like I said, straight out of Austin. There was one of the owners of the group was dressed as Kingpin.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it was awesome. And there was another guy dressed as Daredevil, but he was the Netflix Daredevil suit, but he modified it to make it look more cartoony and more brighter. And
yeah, it was
like,
bright red. It was like a comic book. It was a comic book.
Yeah.
Him and his wife do a great thing. They actually run a non-profit comic book shop.
That's what it is. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And so the amount of love that people put into stuff like that and that they actually do that, it's phenomenal. So go give them a shout out and go check them out. And so, but then we went, what do we do after lunch? I think we hit the showroom floor. That's when we got to meet, Boy Meet World. Boy Meet World is.
No, we did it on Friday.
That was Friday.
New show. Yeah. We just kept gravitating back over there at any chance.
Oh yeah. Because of
Topanga.
Topanga.
Yeah. Danielle Fishel is gorgeous in real life. I mean, she's gorgeous on TV.
Yes.
But, you know, there's some that, like, you see them on TV. Well, like, Tara Reid. Beautiful in movies. not beautiful in person. Yeah. No offense, Tara Reid. I'm sorry if you're listening.
No offense. She's like, Matt Taken. You just called me ugly. It's cool.
Yeah, fuck you. Assholes. But when we saw her at a convention, remember we were all kind of like, eh.
Well, we were thrown off because, I mean, she's obviously much shorter.
Very, very short.
Much shorter very... I'm not one to judge, but she looked unhealthily skinny.
Yeah,
if that
exactly.
makes any...
There was a lot of plastic on her.
I don't know about that. I just thought she was unhealthily skinny.
Oh, yeah. No, she had some bad surgeries that she's been very public about.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so... But Daniel Fish was just gorgeous. And then we went over, we saw Ryder Strong was there that time. We had not seen him yet.
That's right. That's right.
But,
that's
you know, we did. We kind of just walked around the celebrity area just, like, looking at celebrities, which is part of, I guess, the reason you go to conventions. I mean, some people actually go get stuff signed. But, you know, we're like, oh, cool, there's Sean Astin. Mm-hmm. And there's Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum and Katie, what is
Couric.
It?
Couric?
Yeah, I don't know. Katie Couric.
Whatever.
Katie Couric, is it?
Yeah, what's not it? Katie Couric. She's the fucking news anchor.
That's what I was thinking. What was her name? It's Katie.
I don't know. Who, oh, Katie from what?
Smallville.
I never watched Smallville. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Couric?
It's like K-E-U-R-E-C, man. I don't know how the fuck you say that if it's not Couric.
Carrot?
Cake?
Are you looking it up?
Are you looking it up?
I'm trying to, but it's like Katie Couric. It keeps showing up with a C.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Either way, Smallville.
Anywho,
I've always been mind.
Summer Glau or whatever.
Summer Glau.
Summer Glau. Thank you. Summer. Oh, what the fuck was I saying? Summer Glau.
Summer Glau. She gave me a look.
She did.
She was like, "What's up?"
Yeah.
I was like, "Hey."
She's like, "I'm trying to sign stuff. What's up?"
Yeah. And I was
I'm trying not to look.
I was like, "Oh."
John Barrowman, you discovered you were taller than John Barrowman.
Yeah, and that was a great win for me in the moment.
You also discovered you were taller than Cisco Ramon
by at least 3.5 feet.
Yeah. I think I found out that Danielle Panabaker from Flash is taller than me, but she was also in heels, but at the same time it was like, "Damn girl, you tall."
I also discovered that I am taller, and I never really realized my actual size of height and body width, and just like when I was taking photos with people and I started seeing them, I was like, Jesus Christ, I could eat this person.
Yeah, you're towering. You had to like lean over for a lot of them,
which is great because people want that with their Thor.
Yeah, they want a big, you know, like a bigger, taller guy.
Yeah. So that was interesting. I think I love seeing the celebs, and I think I like seeing them and watching them more than anything. Just to get an eyesight on them that I've seen these people doing all these movies and TV shows. I've never been one for photos or like autographs.
Same. You
know? Same here.
I mean, like, yeah.
There's a select few.
Yeah. So when we went to Celebration, we did photo ops and autographs with Mark Hamill.
Because that's a must.
It's Mark Hamill.
Right.
And Alan Tudyk.
Because that's a must.
Because it's a must, right? But those are like, you know, and I didn't pay for those. Because that's another thing. Like, if I was paying for it, I probably wouldn't have done it. One, they're stupid expensive. Alan Tudyk actually wasn't too bad in comparison. But, you know, Mark Hamill, he's fucking Luke Skywalker. His shit's $400-something, right? Like, well, no, thank you. Solid pass. I love you, but I love you from afar. But, you know, it was paid for, so of course I'm going to do this. But, like, Ben Savage was there, and that was one that was just like, I'm not going to miss this opportunity. I love the show too much. It's been too big in my life. And I really just wanted to take a picture with him and then send it to my wife and be like, ha 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 ha, have fun with the kids this weekend.
And then she says, I have a list for you when you get home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. But, yeah, we somehow kept ending up back over in front of the Boy Meets World group. And, again, Daniel Fishel, every time we would just be like, God damn, she's pretty. Like, oh my God.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
And you could tell there's a lot of other people there too that were just like, oh man, it's Topanga. My childhood crush. We're like, yeah, back off.
As we neared the end of the night, we had a super fan come up to Kevin. We had a super fan come up to Kevin. And he was like, oh my God, are you Kevin from 8-Bit Geek? Do you remember this, Kev?
Oh, how could I forget? I've been replaced by him. So get ready for your new host.
So Kenny, maybe you've heard of Kenny before, but
who the fuck is Kenny?
Exactly.
Who the fuck is Kenny?
So Kenny actually showed up at the con, and he actually met the whole group finally, and he hung out with us. And there was a recurring theme. It wasn't mentioned often, but when we saw outside the convention center, there were these scooters, right? And they're everywhere. And I'm like, fuck, man, how fun would it be to just hop on a scooter and just tool around Dallas, just, you know, go see some stuff. No one was interested. Kev, I almost had, until I let him ride the scooter that I rented for 5 seconds, and he fell. Well, he didn't fall, but, you know, he...
I was not able to keep my balance on such a scooter. However, I didn't have your phone, so I'm assuming, because you kept, you're like, press the gas, and I was pressing it, and nothing was working, so yeah. I assume. So I just kept falling off of it, so, and I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Instantly, he was out, and so I didn't have anybody, and I was like, fuck, I really want an adventure. And Kenny... was he stepped up and he was like, fuck yeah, I love those scooters, I do them all the time. I'm like, yeah. And he actually knew Dallas, he spends a lot of time in Dallas. So everybody, I think, Kev, you went out to a wrestling match on Saturday night.
I went to a wrestling show in Bedford, Texas called Metroplex Wrestling. They run shows basically every Saturday night, which mm-hmm. is awesome.
And so you did that, and it was the Force night.
It was May the 4th be with you. So it was, you know, they had a little bit of a Star Wars theme in the first match, but that was about it.
About the extent.
But yeah, and it was cool because I ran into an old friend from Chicago who moved out to Texas years ago. Mike and I went from Divas Dropkicks and Dives, and we met some new wrestlers, new to me at least. And it was cool, like making the connection and everything like that, and just kind of like. It was amazing seeing new wrestling outside of Kansas City because it's awesome. I love to support independent wrestling, and it's amazing seeing it happen in other states and seeing how people in the crowd react to it, how wrestlers are in the ring. And it was cool to see. I enjoyed myself. I thought it was a really positive time.
And then Doug and Ed and B hung out for a little bit. Or B, did B leave?
Well, I mean, obviously he left.
Yeah, I think he left, yeah.
He left before we went and got dinner.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Ed and what's your name?
Yeah.
Doug hung out for a little bit. And I said, all right, I'm going to take this opportunity. And before dinner, we're going to go ride for about an hour. And so Kenny and I just took off. The wind in our hair. There was no worry in sight. And we went down into downtown Dallas and went to a bar, got a drink, rode back, and it was a blast. We ate some dinner and stuff, and then I decided after a few more drinks that I wanted more of scootering. So Kenny and I went out in the middle of the night and rode the empty streets of Dallas. He almost crashed and died, and he survived, though. He was okay. He thought he broke his wrist, but he didn't. I laughed a whole lot at that.
Yeah, and if he did, it's not our fault. And we're
not
responsible.
We do not accept responsibility.
Yeah. Not until he does his first episode.
Even then. Pre-existing condition.
So we had a great time on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, you know, we only spent a little bit of time on the showroom floor because of the fact that we've done it all day Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. Plus, we had tickets to the most amazing interactive experience of our lives. The Void. Star Wars. Enter the Dragon. Wait, what was it called?
Secrets of the Empire?
That's right. It's close.
Nope.
Not at all.
What'd you guys think of that?
It was cool.
It was really fun for a VR adventure, especially something like I use VR fairly regularly, so it was cool to see this. It was a refreshing experience being able to actually move around and experience more of a 4D virtual reality experience, more than just kind of sitting in one place and letting the game kind of guide you. Like you felt like you were in this world. It was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely on a track. It definitely was making you go from point A to point B at a very certain interval. But it was fun. I mean, yeah, it was. You put it on. You guys are. They give you a mission. They tell you you're stormtroopers. You're gonna like, oh, hey, we're rebels. You guys are gonna be going under disguise as stormtroopers, and you guys are going to follow this crate that we need information from, and you're going to get it, and then we're going to get you out of there. And yeah, so like you look at the people around you, and they're dressed as stormtroopers. You're your crew that you're with. And yeah, I mean, it's it's crazy to think that, like, we just walked through, like, five rooms, but, it did not feel that way.
No.
It felt like we were transported to a different world.
Yeah. We literally could have walked through, like, two rooms. It could have just been, like, the two rooms back and forth.
Yeah. It could have been. And we would have never known.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you keep the headsets on the whole time, and you just trust what's happening in the world. Like, if there's a door open in the world, then you can go through it in your virtual reality headset. And it was scary, especially when we were crossing bridges and stuff. We were all looking down like we were going to fall off something. But
the
even
bridges
though we were
didn't bother me as much. Again, I've said this. We've talked about it a number of times today. There's one part where your ship lands, and they're like, okay, get on this little transport. We're going to take you across over there. We're going to take you over there. And it's just like a platform that you and your crew are standing on, like four other people. Or three other people. I guess in this case it was just two. Because you can have up to four people go through this in a group. There was three of us. So anyways. But, you know, and then the floor you're standing on starts vibrating and shaking. And, of course, you've got the headset on. So you're looking around and, like, yeah, you're on this little platform being driven across this thing, like, over lava and stuff. And it
that you can feel the heat off
of. Yeah, you can feel, like, suddenly, yeah, you're getting hit with, like, warm air. And, like, yeah, I mean, it was nuts. And, like, they're talking to you, but, yeah, it's, like, shaky, and you're like, oh, my, I could fucking fall into this lava right now.
Yeah.
Stupid. Yeah. It was stupid. Like, and I was one that was one that made me mad, because it was like, I know this isn't real, and yet I cannot keep my legs from shaking.
Yeah. And that's amazing, and that's what virtual reality is all about, and they were finally able to nail it. And,
yeah.
I mean, obviously no one's going to be able to have a home experience like this unless you're a millionaire, but going out to...
Not this year, but... Soon. I mean, we're going to get there.
I know
this
with the Vive, you have, like, the room, you know, kind of mapped out.
This
but I mean,
the,
like, this was a multi-room setup.
But this is the future. Like, this is the future of gaming.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, as crazy as it sounds, like, we will be living in a virtual world just like Ready Player One
better
at some
this
point
world
in our future.
Yeah. And, it, you know, you had, like, a haptic vest on, so, like, you were getting shot by a stormtrooper. You got hit. Like, you felt it vibrate where you got hit. And yeah, I mean, like, after you cross that, we went into, like, an elevator, and again, it was like, you know, hey, figure out how to slice into this elevator, and, like, there's a handle, and, like, I just looked at it, and then just grabbed the handle and pulled the handle down, and sure enough, like, actually, there was a handle right there, and I pulled the handle down and activated the elevator. But it was one of those things where it was like, I see it in the game just there, and I was like, I just knew. I was like, yeah, that's real. I'm like... You know, actually felt the handle, you know, move and give, like, because there was something there, and that was fucking sick. And then a couple
with the buttons,
and even before that, we go through the thing, and this wall panel opens up, and there's some blaster rifles, and you hear them like, grab a rifle, and Kev picked one up off the wall. He's like, holy shit, they're real. Because that's there awesome. Were like you could literally pick up the rifle that was in front of you and hold it in your hands.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was a really cool event.
And then yeah, you go through and you shoot and you can feel them vibrating, and again you shoot the stormtroopers that are shooting back at you, and you're getting hit by the stuff. It was fucking sick.
And we had three of us. I think it was a three-person limit in the game, or was it four?
Four.
Oh, okay, but we had five people, so we had to split up into two teams, us three, and then Ed and B had their own. But it felt, even at three, I think we only bumped into each other once, but man, I think four would have been a little too crowded.
It was the very first room where we got the mission, and it was like the door behind us opened up, and we had to go through, and so we, like, Jer and I bumped into each other, because we were standing, like, shoulder to shoulder, so I didn't see him, he didn't see me, but, like, after that, we kind of went, like, single file through stuff.
Yeah.
And it was so cool to see, like, there's two stormtroopers in front of me.
Yeah.
Because of the virtual reality. It was cool. There were times where there would be glitches and stuff, where both of your arms would be really cool, and so suddenly, one of you would have three arms.
Yeah. I saw when someone was across from me, their arm was extra long. It grew. I was like, uh-oh.
That was me. I remember I was like, because I was trying to do the middle finger, and it wouldn't let you. It only do two fingers. But it was weird how they were able to tell your finger placements, because you didn't wear gloves or anything. It was just part of, like, I think there was a camera on the front of your suit, or not on the front of your helmet, so they could see what reactions you make with your fingers.
That's
and so
a
you
good
could
point.
Make a peace sign in it, and it would actually, like, transfer in the game.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Your arms and stuff do show up as, like, stormtrooper glove, like the stormtrooper hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't have any, like, you're not holding anything when it does that.
That's bonkers.
I, like I said, I
think about that. Because there weren't controllers like at all until like maybe you picked up the rifle. But even then, yeah, we had to do the button thing, and every time I'm hitting a button, it was still that Stormtrooper hand.
Yeah,
that, yeah,
it's wild.
Shit was bonkers.
I mean, I think the technology in it is probably that of something like Snapchat, where the camera sees it and it automatically converts the image. Mm-hmm. But it
there was
cool
a little bit
see.
Of a delay, like when you'd first put your hand out.
Yeah,
it was like. Like oh, there! Snapchat, oh, your hand's there. Yeah. No, I saw that.
So, I like that technology. I hope it's more utilized.
Yeah. I want to go do the Ghostbuster one now.
Yeah, they have different themed ones. They had a horror movie one
I
that
was like, let's go back in.
I forget what the horror one was, but it was based. Ninja Theory worked on it. Ninja Theory is the people who did Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, and they had their own like virtual reality game. I can't remember what it was, but we went talking about that one. It was supposed to be super scary. And then, yeah, then they had the Ghostbusters one.
I don't know if I could do the scary one.
I know, right?
I think that's where I would die.
We did the VR.
Especially in 4D with, like, the wind and everything. Like, fuck that.
Yeah. And feeling the chills on your neck and everything.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'd be like, okay, I know I'm not, like, I'm not going to be touched by anything. But, yeah, if Vader came at us at one point, and he never even got that close to us, but it was like, we all were stepping backwards.
Yeah, we were. We were all like, oh, shit. I was hiding behind the corner because every time we'd fire at him, he was just deflecting the rounds.
Yeah.
And so they were firing back at us.
Yeah, there was one that like whizzed right by my face. I saw it going, and I heard it like,
that's cool.
Like, no. Oh, no. But yeah, he was like, this bridge stood on it and just started like coming towards us. And they were just like, nah. No, yeah, I'm like awesome. Backing up. Like no. Okay, good. There's stormtroopers to shoot at. Now you stop. Like stop. And then thankfully, the story continued. And it was awesome. It was sick. But I would do the Ghostbusters one though, because it'd be scary, but it'd also be funny because it's Ghostbusters.
I agree with you. That'd be a blast, especially because you would feel like you have the pack on your back.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Is like that's perfect because then you're like, okay, cool. I'm gonna get the proton thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we decided, man, we need some fuel. So we went and got some food over in Frisco. We went up to. I highly recommend this place. It is Nerdvana, and it is a restaurant. They have a coffee shop and they have a restaurant. We went to the restaurant. We've been to the coffee shop before. But it's actually located underneath the Gearbox offices. And we went into the restaurant. Man, what a cool experience.
Yeah.
It's all themed with video games. You have a TV at your dining table where you can play PS4 or Switch or all these other consoles. And they give you controllers. And the food was really good.
Yeah. I just went with like a basic breakfast. Which, you know, 3 eggs, bacon, toast, and some potatoes.
Yeah.
And I think just about everyone else at the table except for B went with, you guys had the chicken biscuits.
Biscuits. Yeah. Which are really good, but the biscuits were a little dry.
A little bit. But not bad.
Chicken was good.
We got some loaded fries before that were delicious.
Mm-hmm. I'll go back. I'd go back.
I would go back. Absolutely. Yeah, especially since that it seems like that may not have been the full menu. Like that looks like that, from what I understand. Or what I heard someone talking at another table, like, is this all you guys are serving today? And they're like, oh, this is our Sunday menu or something like that. But there might be another menu.
Oh, cool. That's good.
So we'd have to check that out sometime.
Or like their Sunday brunch menu because I mean, it was a lot of breakfast items and it was 3 p.m.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it could be just so. Like brunch. But other than that, I mean, it was a fantastic weekend. Major props to Fan Expo Dallas for putting on a great show this year and improving upon the problems of prior years. I give the con of a 5 out of 5, you know, like I had a fantastic time. It was really good for me.
Yeah. If we're going to do that, I'd say I give it a 4 out of 5, and here's why. Even though we spent a lot of our time on the main aisle, which is great, nice big open wide aisle with carpet and stuff, there were still some of the side aisles that still were a little small.
That's
and
true.
Were getting a little congested at times. I just wish that they could figure out whatever however Comic Palooza does it, just the single rows, like just the grid,
giant single rows.
Yeah, the grid. It's the best thing. Giant wide aisle down the center, and then giant wide, maybe not as big, but still wide aisles in a grid format, And I know you're going to want stuff. You know, I think the way Comicpalooza does it too, or they have in the past, is some years they have like the center, a center section where all the big stuff is.
Activity section or kids section.
Yeah, or even, yeah, they've. But what I like this year is that they put the food court way at one opposite end of everything instead of right next to the celebrity signing area like they did last year. Yeah. Photo ops were kind of off in their own way and not really taking up any of the floor space of the floor plan, which that was also fucking great. The celebrity area was great and wide and a lot of space for people to move around and stuff. It was all that was great. There was no like choke points where people were trying to get through.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wish that a grid format would like sort of floor plan would be used. But again, in comparison to the last few years, this was a fucking huge step up, and it was great. Also, like we were looking at stuff from C2E2 or whatever it's called. If you're going to put carpet down everywhere.
Please.
Yeah, my feet are hurt so bad. Yeah. So, just put carpet everywhere.
Kev, what was your final thoughts on it?
I thought it was fantastic. Like I said, my first time going, and I was not disappointed. I kind of went in there expecting something to be kind of messed up because of the previous year's comments about not being enough room and everything. But, like I said, I at no point felt uncomfortable being there. I didn't feel like there was a lot of definitely it's one of the few ones in our days, but we don't have a booth this one that wasn't really filled with drama, so that was cool. Like the staff was great, everyone was very accommodating, we didn't run into any issues getting in or out.
We didn't fight with any booths or anything. That was cool.
Yeah, even though like they had a very strange thing with their badges where they had to kind of scan your badge in and out. We thought that was going to be a huge choke point. Yeah. We thought that was going to be a huge issue, but it ended up working out a lot better than we thought, especially with the Wi-Fi. We thought there'd be issues, but no, I mean, that was fine. And it turned out, I mean, like I said, I think it was one of the best cons we've worked in a while.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, that's it. That wraps it up for Fan Expo 2019. And Frightmare, of course, as well. So,
yeah,
make sure you check these things out coming up next year. I know that Fan Days has another event. I think it's called Fan Days. It is October. You'll be able to go to that. It's in Irving, but it was a great time. We enjoyed ourselves, and we hope that you enjoyed the review. Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.